This is Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
Someone that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Hi, this is Brian Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
This is a production of the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bonnie Vent, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Between the seen and the unseen. Between the known and the unknown. Between the real and the imagined. That's where you'll find the paranormal divide. Now, here is your host, Kurt Smith.
Welcome, everyone. Today is June, I forget what day it is, crap. We'll just have to pull. June 9th. Welcome to the Paranormal Divide again. We're going to have an awesome show tonight. Don't forget, everyone, that there is a big announcement tonight at the end of the show, right before the new show, Ghost Quest, which is supposed to debut tonight. So hang tight. Let's have fun. And if anyone in the chat room has any questions, feel free to ask them. I will get them as they scroll up. Or if you want to, you can private message me, and that way I can get them and I won't forget them. So let's go ahead and bring our guest in tonight. We have Adam White from New Age Paranormal. Adam, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, it's friggin' 95 degrees here still. It's hot, it's humid, and I can't stand the heat. How's it going and where you're at?
It's not too bad. We've had a lot of flash floods.
Are you still there? I think we lost our guest, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to contact him back. Give me 1 second. Adam, are you still there? I think we lost our guest. Hang tight, guys. We will call him right back. All right, as you can hear, we have the busy signal, so we're just going to have to hang tight. Everyone, there is a big announcement tonight. It's going to be very, very big. No crying needed. Hopefully no one's sad when they hear the announcement. I'm trying to call my guest again.
Hello?
Hey, Adam, how you doing? Sorry about that. Did we lose you?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I'd have technologies these days, you know. Cool. Well, we got you back. So let's go ahead and give the folks in the chat room a little introduction about yourself. If you want to give a shout-out to anyone, if you want to plug your website, and any background information you'd like, that'd be awesome.
Okay. New Age Paranormal. We're actually kind of a new group, basically. We started in 2007. February of 2007, but I've been doing paranormal work for about going on 6 years, and then my other founder of the group, CJ Williams, he's been doing investigation work, paranormal work just as long. Basically, I was in a group in Springfield, Illinois, capital of Illinois, of course, and it's about a 45-minute drive from Decatur to Springfield, and late-night investigations, it got horrible driving, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning back home.
And after being up all night, it's tough,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah, especially being in a house that's completely dark for, you know, all those hours, and you got to drive. So the only thing you're thinking right now is, I'm just going to go to sleep. So me and CJ, we friends from high school, I mean, since the fourth grade, actually, we started talking, and we decided, hey, let's try to put a group together. And there was only one group in Decatur, and that's Troy Taylor's American Ghost Society.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, hey, let's try it. So we started to do some stuff. We launched a website in February 2007, and it it was slow at first, but then all of a sudden it just hit. We became affiliated with American Ghost Society. I became the area representative with American Ghost Society. Then we started getting investigations. I think it doesn't sound like much, but I think we're up to about 10, 12 homes and four different businesses.
Awesome.
We've done, I don't know how many cemeteries. I'm a fan of cemeteries. I respect them in paranormal work and just, you know, they're well put together, basically. We've done, 15, 16 radio shows. We've been in the paper quite a few times. We're on iClips.net with Troy Taylor. It's all about the haunted Lincoln Theater, which is here in Decatur. Troy talks about it, and we're in it at the Ghost Group, basically showing how we would conduct an investigation there. So yeah, it's been a fun year, I guess, a little bit over a year that we've been doing it, and we're having a blast, and hopefully we can keep doing it.
It sounds like it's taken off. I mean, it's really taken off for you within a year.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I've had a lot of help from Troy and stuff, and I've known quite a few people in town. Actually, I forgot to mention that we last October we did a seminar at the local library and here in town. It was basically like Paranormal 101,
cool.
Kind of give an idea of what we do and stuff like that, and it went so well. Originally, we thought it was going to be like 30 people, if that, and
mm-hmm.
We opened the doors at 6, and by 6:10, there was 100-plus people in there.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was the first show I ever did, too, so I was like, oh, God. And we actually were booked again this October for two shows to do.
Sweet.
So.
Well, you'll have to post that information on the Parex forum and also let everyone know in the chat room about that, because that sounds like it would be an interesting to go to.
Yeah, it's a fun time. I'm not really for sure what we're going to talk about this year. We're actually having a meeting with the lady that's setting up everything, so I'll find out more information here in the next couple weeks.
Now, last year when you went to this, was that the Lincoln Theater, right?
The seminar?
Yeah, the seminar.
No, the seminar was at the library.
The library. Now, was that open
yes.
to the general public?
Yes.
Now, what is the general public's view in Decatur in regards to paranormal groups? You know how some societies and, you know, cities and all that frown on that. Do they welcome you with open arms?
Yeah, they do. I mean, everyone in this town pretty much knows. Decatur is well known as, you know, one of the most haunted cities in the Midwest. There's ghost stories on every block in this town, basically, and that was a huge plus. For us for doing the show, because they, you know, Troy Taylor, author of like 56, 57 books now, you know, he's wrote a lot about Decatur, and people's read the books, and they've gone to his shows too, and it just gave him a chance basically to, you know, get another view from another, you know, a couple people that are doing it, and
mm-hmm.
they had a blast listening to it.
Now, you mentioned Troy a lot. Would you consider himself as a peer or like a teacher for your group or yourself? Have you learned a lot from him?
Yeah, I would say a teacher. I've learned quite a few things from him. You know, it's basically whenever I was really getting into this, you know, he first came out with his first book, and I was young at the time, and it was like, hey, you know, it'd be really cool to be able to do what he does, and then here I am now and working with him, you know. He's a good friend of mine and the rest of the group. So, yeah, he's taught me a lot of things. So, yeah, I would say a teacher.
Sweet. Now you've seen lately, you know, with all the TV shows coming on, you're seeing a boom or an increase in paranormal groups. Why do you think that is?
It's people are – what's the word I'm looking for? It's – we've had a couple groups here in town, actually, that started up, and basically they're looking for, you know, to get the fame, basically, get their name out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a field that's not very, you know, not very big, not, you know, you can't get degrees in this field. Well, you kind of can, but it's an area that's not really well known, and people want to jump in there to, you know, be the first ones known, so they try to get TV shows and stuff like that, and, you know, I'm we're working on some stuff, but I'm basically still in it for the paranormal, you know, side. I'll find out what's actually out there, you know, mm-hmm. what goes bump in the night, basically. So,
is that one thing that motivates you? Is because you want to find the truth out there?
Yeah. I mean, from my experiences that's happened to me in the past, it's I want to find out. You know, I've been in the places. I've seen chairs fall, you know, get moved. I've been physically smacked.
Oh, man.
I've seen people's hair get lifted. That's actually my fiance. She was in the group. Her hair, I watched her hair get lifted, you know, from voices and houses. I just want to find out what, you know, what's causing it and why.
Now, is your wife part of the your society, New Age Paranormal?
She is.
That's like my wife. My wife is part of my group, and I think, you know, with having significant others, with their blessing, I think it's really, you know, I think it helps, you know, even, you know, because I'm married, and she's really interested in too, because she likes to do the research part and all that. And I think having the blessing, if you have a girlfriend, a fiance, or a wife, the blessing of the significant other, I think it really helps out, because, you know, you hear a lot of, you know. Doing paranormal investigations, getting into the paranormal can be addicting. I'll admit it. I love it. I could spend 24/7 on there. But, you know, without the support of the significant other, I don't think I would be in here. You know, she really supports me. I believe you're engaged to get married here, and you'll be married here on Friday. Does your fiance support you 100%?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at first it was kind of she, you know, was like, what do you do? And we told her, and you know, slowly but surely she started getting into it. Now she loves it. I mean, she wants to go everywhere with us, and she also does research, and she's a case manager too, so
awesome.
She's gotten a lot of cases set up for us, and she 100% is right behind us. I mean, everything we do she supports. So
sweet. That's what I enjoy about it. My wife, she's always interested on the EVPs that I catch, you know, what new equipment's out there, anything new going on out in the world. She wants me to keep her up to date. She even comes up with suggestions with shows and, you know, hey, why don't you do stuff this way and all that. I mean, I love working with my wife. She's awesome.
Right.
Now, we have our first question. I'm sorry,
okay.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We have our first question in the chat room tonight. It's from Blaine. I believe this is he's been absent a while, so it's not the same as my question. So I think we're about 218 straight questions for him. It's a two-part question. We'll go with the first part. He wants to know what your funniest EVP you have caught.
One of the funniest EVPs that we've caught. This is kind of bad, but it was one of the first things we ever did investigation and. We're actually at a cemetery, and it was kind of like a training sort of thing, but the cemetery, we've caught EVPs there before that we can't explain. So basically what happened, we were wrapping up an investigation, and we left one of the tape recorders recording, and me and the founder, CJ, were singing from a distance, you know, just kind of having a laugh, wrapping up the investigation. Well, when we got back and we got all the equipment in there and we went home, later on, a couple days later, we're listening to the EVPs, and we heard someone singing, and we thought it was Golden. And then we, you know, cleared it up and come to find out it was actually us singing. So, sure, all your equipment's turned off if you're going to have a little bit of fun.
That's all. But you're out there having fun, and that's you know,
right.
You have the serious side of it, but you know what? You got to have some fun out there too, and you mentioned, you know, you're out there singing. But I think, you know, this is just a theory. This is from what I hear, is that a lot of times, you know, you have your standard questions you ask. What is your name? You know, how old are you? Are you from here? Did you die here? But I hear, this is just a theory that I hear, that a lot of times a lot of EVPs come from just people, investigators having a normal conversation out there, not even expecting to have an EVP. What's your thoughts on that?
We've had that happen, I mean, quite a few times. Actually, we have an EVP on our website. I'm working to get more up, but these two EVPs are two of the best that I've ever heard, because mostly the way it happened, it was a house just outside of Indiana, and basically, there was five members there, including myself and CJ. Me and CJ were upstairs, and two females were downstairs with another male member and the two homeowners. And we, when we first got there, we made sure that we couldn't hear anything from air vents or outside because a lot of the activity was coming from upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely checked that out to make sure we couldn't hear anything, and then we went on with our investigation. Nothing really happened that night, personally, personal experience, until we got home and we listened to EVPs, or audio and the video also. Basically, what happened on one of the EVPs that we caught, there is a female's voice, and it, we're pretty for sure she says, "I'm here." And, you know, I mean, you could hear it as plain as day.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for a fact at the time, because the video, all the video cameras picked us up, me and CJ upstairs. No females ever poked their heads in, or we couldn't hear anybody talking. This is the only time we ever caught the female's voice. So if we could hear them downstairs talking, we would have caught it more. And about 2-3 minutes after that, me and CJ still upstairs, and we're talking in the background. You can hear us talking, and I'm asking him, there's a clock. I hear a clock on the wall, and it's driving me crazy, this ticking noise. So we're getting up, and we're walking out of the bedroom, and right when we're walking out, we get a "help me." And it's a male's voice, and it's deep, it's dark, and it's "help me." And right after that, I say, you know, "Where is the clock on the wall?" And those two EVPs, I mean, I've gotten a lot of the EVPs before, but those two, I mean, we went down the list of things that it could have happened, but everything is dismissed, basically. So those were two of the best ones I've ever caught.
And those are, I like when I'm out on an investigation and when you get a reply, I love those EVPs. That's one thing when I do EVP work, is that fulfills my investigation. You know, I'm not going to classify something as haunted or not just because of one EVP, but I get satisfaction that, you know, hey, I'm getting a reply. Now I'll follow. This is the second part of Blaine's question. It's a two-part question. We talked about your funniest. What would be your scariest EVP that you caught?
I'm going to go with the male "help me." I mean, that was, mm-hmm. If you listen to it on the website, I mean, you'll catch it right away. And, you know, hearing the story from the homeowners, it was basically, it didn't like the grandchildren that lived in the home. It would, you know, scare them, move their toys. It wasn't nice. It wasn't being nice. And after we caught these EVPs, and the homeowners also had EVPs, we contacted a priest to come in and bless the home, and he came in and blessed the home, and as of right now, I haven't had any emails or phone calls from the homeowners, so I'm thinking that that got taken care of. But
awesome.
The way the voice just, you know, comes out, you know, the "help me," mm-hmm. it wasn't great.
Cool. Well, Blaine, there you go. There's 200, somewhere around 218 straight shows, Blaine, you've asked that question now. Now, we do have another question from the chat room. This is from Marla, haunt writer Marla Brooks. She wants to know what your scariest experience is while out on an investigation.
Scariest would have to be, we did an old bakery here in Decatur, and the bakery was, well, it wasn't a bakery at the time. It was a farmhouse when it was first built.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 1900s, and after the owners of the farmhouse sold it, they started letting businesses go into this building. And from about 1960 to the early 80s, there was about 30-plus businesses that came and gone. After the 80s, there was a couple, and then it stayed empty for a while, and then it became the old bakery, and everyone in town knows it as the old bakery. Well, we got contacted, and the new owner of the building, she's running a shop out of there, and she says, you know, "I've heard all these stories about the place, and it doesn't feel right in here. It just feels real heavy, and, you know, all these things happen, shadows, and, you know, things get moved, and they get weird smells and stuff like that." So we're like, okay, we'll come in. And we set up our equipment, started an investigation. We had a couple little experiences, our personal experiences, nothing too big from, you know, mostly just little shadows, but that could have came from outside. I'm not 100% positive, but it was towards the investigation, and I asked, you know, why can't anybody give us a sign? And I was smacked in the middle of my back.
Oh, man.
I took off my shirt because I thought I might have sat down in something. Took off my shirt, and that's when my fiance and another former member that used to be in the group looked at my back, and there were scratch marks from the back of my neck down my back.
Holy cow. Wow.
There was nothing in the seat. It was our ghost hunting shirt that we always wear. You know, I've never had an allergic reaction to it before and still haven't. No one was around me, you know, nothing hanging on walls or anything like that to scratch me, and it was on my back, and it was, that was one of the weirdest things that's ever happened before. I mean, we instantly, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, that's great, you know, that's something you're looking for, but when it happens to you, it hits you. I mean, we instantly stopped the investigation, try to regroup, you know, because I got scratch marks down my back. That one was probably one of the worst.
Now, what was your immediate reaction when you got slapped? I mean, did it stun you? Was it one of those instances where you would have to be like a, you know, do a Brian and do a dude run? Did you just like freeze?
Well, I a few choice words I'm not going to say now, but you know, I basically bent over because it, you know, it felt like somebody smacked me, and I was like, you know, when I bent over and said my few words, I looked around just to make sure no one was around me, but I could see the two people in front of me the whole time, so I know no one was behind me, and, you know, it's one of those things, you get hit in the back, you're going to turn around and look, and that right there, I was like, you know, like, what was that? And that's when I took my shirt off, and the photos, we're updating my website now as we speak,
cool.
And the photos are going to be on the main page. Probably tonight of my back. So
now you mentioned your website. If you can go ahead and plug your website for everyone to go, everyone, please make sure you go to this website. I mean, he's got some awesome, you know, pictures and some EVP. So visit the website, and Adam's going to give us his website real quick if you can.
Yeah, it's www.newageparanormal.com.
And we'll plug that again towards the end of the show too. Now, we were talking about EVPs and all that. Are you digital or are you analog?
Digital.
And what I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, no, you can't.
Okay. Now, you like digital, correct?
Yeah.
Can you recommend a digital voice recorder for the listeners out there?
I've got like six or seven different ones that I use, and I mean, a Sony, I've never had problems with my Sony ones. Definitely look for a tape recorder, digital recorder, that has a lot of memory on it, basically, to record, because I've got a couple little ones that only record for, you know, 3 hours, and then you got to get the stuff off of it, and that's a big hassle in the middle of an investigation. So something with a lot of hours that you can record. But yeah, I prefer digital. It's a lot easier to upload it onto a computer than having to, you know, mess with tapes and stuff like that. Some people don't like it because it's digital, just like with digital cameras. A lot of people are still with a 35mm. But I like to have photos instantly, and we've taken thousands of photos, and I've never really caught anything on photos besides, you know, the great question, the orbs.
That'll come here in a little bit.
Yeah. So I'll explain more about that later. But other than that, you know, I use a lot of video cameras and tape recorders, basically. And it seems like always, I think this is what every group, it, personal experience, happens the most. So I enjoy that a lot. You know, if we can catch on video, that's going to be awesome.
Well, you bring a great point about, you know, when you're taking photographs with digital pictures, you know, you want to. It seems like on every investigation that I've been on, it's, you know, when people are taking the photographs, they immediately will look at the display after their picture taken because they want to see if they caught anything right away, you know.
Right, and it and we've come to find out too that it helps, because I've used I've used 35 millimeter before, and we've taken photos, and say if we're in a building and you get a flash off something, and it causes an image in the film, and when you get it developed, you're like, oh, you know, you start looking into it, and then you realize, oh, maybe it's something else. Well, with the digital camera, you know, I've had flashes off the walls, or we didn't see something because it was dark and it was hanging above the camera, and instantly we see it, and then we can debunk it. It happened in cemeteries too. We've caught, and somebody was breathing next to us, and I turned, snapped a photo. Well, of course, I didn't see the breath at the time until I looked at the photo right then, and I realized, oh, you know, that's a breath. Now, if you got pictures developed, and you know, sometimes I can't get to evidence as quick as possible. So, it could have been a week, and I could have got those developed, and not thinking at the time, you know, oh, somebody was breathing over there. And I could, you know, get some smoke or some fog in there, and I think that I might have something. So that's one reason why I prefer digital cameras over the 35 millimeter.
And I totally agree with you. Now you mentioned that you like digital. When you go back and download your audio evidence, what software do you like to use when you review evidence, and when you if you have to cut and paste, or if you have to, you know, do the amplifying and cleaning up?
No, and to be honest with you, off the top of my head, I can't even remember the name of the software we use. It came with one of my digital recorders, and it actually works with all of them.
Cool.
But no, it's, you know, it's simple USB cord, just uploading straight into the thing. And I've you know, messed around with it to take out noises and stuff like that, but almost, 99.9% of the EVPs that we catch, I never, you know, amplify or anything like that to the public, because I want them to hear it the same way that we heard it when we first found it. Of course, we've blown them up for ourselves to listen, to see in the background, if, you know, just to make sure that it's not something else. But most of the times, I leave everything alone. You know, I don't want to take a chance of someone being like, oh, he edited it, or, you know, just like with videos also, I try to leave them alone as most as possible.
And you bring up a good point about, you know, that, you know, I agree with you totally, not, you know, having to amplify it, not having to clean it up. You know, if it's a true EVP, you're going to put it out there where you don't have to do all that fancy stuff and all that.
Right.
Because if not, there's people out there that are just going to, you know, and I've had it to myself. When I first started, I posted stuff on like the TAPS forum. Boy, did I get beat up. But you know what? It's a learning experience, though.
Right.
Now, we're going to take a quick break here. I got to play my commercial, and it'll take about 3 minutes. So, Adam, if you can hang tight, I'll be right back with you, and we're going to continue our conversation.
Okay.
All right, folks, we have Adam White on tonight from New Age Paranormal. We're gonna play my favorite commercial, so if you have to go potty, grab another beer, do whatever you can in 3 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Is this thing on? Is this okay, thank you. All right, people, settle down. We really have to get started. Now, first, a couple of quick announcements. For those of you who ate at the commissary this morning, the nurse would like to speak to you right after this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
After the meeting, Mrs. Torkelson.
Yes,
after. Thank you. I also want to remind everybody once again that the fountain in the middle of the commons area is not, I repeat, not a toilet. Is that understood, Mr. Kunkelmeyer? Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that many of you have been on the internet listening to some website called ParaX. I find this quite disturbing. I know you have enjoyed shows like Caps Paranormal Radio with Dave and Tom, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Crossroads Paranormal with Mike and Chris, Mission City UFO with Mike Cole, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, and the Ghost Divas Live in the past. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, I hear they've got a whole bunch of new shows, like Paranormal Divide with Kurt Smith, Warning Radio with Brian and Baxter. That one makes me nervous. Paranormal Help Desk with Jeff Barnes, Ghostly Talk with Doug and Scott, and Ghost Chatter with Jimmy Morris. I loved him when he was with the Doors. I really, yeah. Mm-hmm. That means that every evening, Monday through Sunday, there is a live show with live chat so you can speak directly to the host. And if you happen to miss the live show, they replay all the shows during the day. Plus, Para-X has the shows archived if you're looking for a particular episode that you missed. Now, people, enough is enough already. This has become very disruptive to your normal routine. I mean, with everyone listening to Para-X 24 hours a day, nothing is getting done around here. I mean, poor Mr. Finkelstummer hasn't bathed in weeks, and Mrs. Clapperpot won't even leave the computer to use the bathroom. That reminds me, the chairs in room 24 are going to be burned, so don't be using them. Mm-mm. Now, we really have to do something about this. So...
Excuse me, sir, excuse me. But that episode of Cap's Paranormal Radio that you like, it's on right now.
Really?
Right now?
We'll talk about this later. Meeting is adjourned. Somebody put Mrs. Clapperpot's chair in room 24, please. Get out of my way. Not the fountain, Mr. Gunkelmeyer!
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Alrighty, we're back. We have Adam White tonight from New Age Paranormal. You still there, Adam?
Yes, sir.
Right on. So let's continue our conversation that we're having. I have a question myself. Now, when you're going into a new investigation, how do you get your mindset into doing the investigation? Are you going in skeptic? Are you going in that, okay, something's happening? Explain to our listeners how you go into an investigation with a clean mindset for a new investigation.
Most of the time it's skeptic. I don't want to go in and be like, this is going to be great. We're going to catch a lot of stuff. We instantly go into a home business or anything like that. And of course we listen to the stories and then we tell the owners, what we're going to do basically. And that's when we get a feel of the place, listen to the stories. We look at everything. We always have EMF meter with us checking readings. Mm-hmm. Of course we have a tape recorder then also with us when we're listening to the stories and basically get a base reading of the whole place. Sometimes we've caught where, doors have, opened up and come to find out their, floors are warped and it's causing the door to pop open. We've caught that, right away and, homeowners are amazed that we jumped in so quick to debunk it instead of, wait until the middle of the night and we catch a door opening on camera and we've got something. No, mm-hmm. I mean, we try to debunk everything first. So skeptic, I would say, right off the start.
Awesome. And now, do you do, like when you're going into a house investigation and, there's some history with the house, do you do your research before or after your investigation?
We usually try to do some. If we got time, we'll do some of it before,
uh-huh.
And then afterwards it'll be after we do it basically. And then once we have the evidence and stuff like that, if we do, that's when we'll come back with a report with history on the home and then what we found out also.
Now, when you do research, Do you go to like the local library or you go on the internet? What tips can you give to our listeners out there?
I do a lot of work at the library. I spend many, many hours there. That would be the best thing.
What kind of information do you look for when you're at the library?
A lot of house records and stuff like that, public records. Basically, at our library, I don't know how all the libraries are, but our library you can. I can pull up maps of the area.
Mm-hmm.
We look for the homes in that area and make sure, we've had a couple where there have been cemeteries, basically underneath their house.
Wow.
And then we also personal directories. It has, since like 1872 on up till now, it gives you every address in town, and it tells you who lives in that house, during those dates. So that's a huge plus. That's how we can find out, who's lived in the house, mm-hmm. Around times when people leave the house, And we also go to the county building, which is record keeping for deeds on houses and stuff like that, too. So I guess between the library and the county building, that's the two places that I check out the most. I try to check out on the internet a lot, but it's just real hard, I think, trying to find stuff in with little areas in the town. So library would be the big plus.
Now you're doing an investigation for a new homeowner. Is it, you know, myself, I've been on one house investigation. Is it ethical to call? Is it ethical to call prior homeowners to see what type of activity was going on or any information you can get out of them?
Yeah, and that's actually happened to us. The old bakery that I was talking about, the person that was running the business there when we went, well, I've never met her before, but the past business owners that stay there actually is my tattoo artist. And he told me stories of the place before he left and moved to a new building, and I never got a chance to go in there when he was there. Well, when the new lady took over and started running the business out of there, they never talked to each other, the tattoo artist and the new owner. And whenever we get a call from her saying that she's got this stuff happening, and I said, you know, that's okay, and started looking into it, and I actually went and talked to my tattoo artist and asked him to tell us the stories again, and they pretty much matched up between the two on the same kind of level of paranormal stuff that was happening there. So it was two different people, same story basically, and they've never met before.
So it corroborate. That's a tough word to say. I'm sorry. So it's, you got two different people corroborating each other's story. You know, if I mispronounce that word, I'm sure I'm going to get it from Marla or Blaine in the chat room.
But yeah, I mean that's where we, that's the time that we went back, you know, to a previous owner, and you know, we really got his stories, and you know, I asked him, and he's a close friend of mine, known him for years, and asked him, you know, for sure if he's ever talked to the homeowner or the business owner now, and he didn't even know there was a business in there because they just up and left and sold it, and someone else bought it. So, yeah, they didn't even know there was a business in there, and they pretty much matched up.
Wow. They're like, surprise. Now I have a question. You mentioned that you have a tattoo artist, and, you know, it's been mentioned before, like I believe some people have tattoos for, you know, I can't even think of the word, like protection or whatever. Do you have a protection tattoo or that you have?
No, I've got some weird tattoos. I've got my left leg is from the kneecap down to my ankle all the way around as a cemetery.
Was there any particular reason why you picked a cemetery? Just curious, any reason why you picked a cemetery?
No, I've always loved cemeteries. I mean, ever since I was a little guy, we'll go to cemeteries not even to do investigations, just to walk around and check out stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on my right leg, I actually have a portrait of almost like a Chinese animated doll, basically. It's looks like a floating head. And she kind of also looks like the girl from The Ring. I get that a lot, you know, why do you have the girl on your leg from The Ring? But I really enjoy the Japanese animated art.
Cool.
And she's got blood coming out of her eyes. Now I probably just scared everybody and that's listening.
Blood.
They're like, this guy is crazy. But if you ever see photos, which they're on our MySpace, you know, I like it. I mean, everyone I talk to likes it too. So, and then they, you know, they ask why, and I pretty much just say, you know, we're ghost hunters, and then they kind of like, oh, okay.
Now, I mentioned, you know, I asked about, you know, if it was ethical to call prior homeowners and all that. Let's get back into those. I like to be ethical, you know, but you got some groups out there. I want your honest opinion on groups out there that, you know, are unethical out there while investigating. You know, they go out there, these homeowners call these groups out, you know, and they just, it's just a cluster hell out there when, you know, when they leave. These homeowners are frustrated. You know, that's not very ethical of a group to do that. And then, have you had the opportunity where you had to go up and clean up after another group?
Not really. I mean, we've, like I said before, there's Troy's got his group here.
Mm-hmm.
There's another little group, which we haven't really dealt with much. But other than that, I mean, there's not too many groups here. I mean, there's quite a few ghost hunters, but they're not. They're just kind of independent by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There was one group that we were going to work with that started here, but then it turned bad. They were back talking Troy. They were, you know, getting on everybody's case about paranormal, and they knew everything, and they wanted to set territories in town. And
oh man,
it got bad, and then they just disappeared.
You would think with like Para-X, and you know, I read a lot of forums myself, and there seems like there's a lot of unity out there. Everyone wants to help out, but you always have there's always one bad apple in the bunch. Well, what's your opinion on unity? You know, that it seems like that's a very hot topic nowadays.
Right, and we have, you know, nothing against helping other ghost groups. We've helped a couple other ghost groups out of town. And, you know, I got friends everywhere that are paranormal investigators, you know, all over the United States.
True.
And, you know, I think it's great. It gives an opportunity for, you know, my team to basically, you know, get some new ideas from other teams and vice versa, too. So we picked up on a couple things that I've never thought about doing, and we do it now because of other teams. And, you know, it's great to be able to, you know, talk to people. That's why I do these radio shows, you know, get people's stories and, you know, tell how we do stuff like that. That's an opportunity, you know, for people that's listening. Hey, that's a good idea. So, yeah, I'm all for it. And people that are just strictly, you know, I want to set territory and, you know, I'm going to do all the radio shows in town and that kind of stuff. That's, no, I don't like it at all.
And you know those groups aren't going to last long because you know what they're ostracizing themselves from the society. You know, we're one big family out here, and if you're going to be, you know, a jerk and, pardon the French, a dick, people aren't going to willing to bend over back to help you out. You know if everyone was willing to share and help out, I think that's the main goal. I think
right, and you know it's. We've worked with a lot of different groups that, you know, pretty much got us cases, and that's, you know, that's, if you're going to piss people off, that's, you know, that's not a good way to get cases. So that's, I mean,
And I'm sure that's what, just like when, because you're a member of the American Ghost Society, you mentioned that at the beginning, and I'm sure if Troy, you know, Troy found out that one of his groups was, you know, lollygagging around, you know, not doing what they're supposed to and giving that society a bad name, I'm sure he would be like, uh-uh, he's not going to have that. He's going to put his foot down.
Right.
So, now, you know, we're on this topic. What do you think of people that fake evidence? Like, here's a good example. You're on a house investigation, you know, this family's giving you all these stories about what's going on, and, you know, the groups come in and, you know, they don't catch anything, but they feel the need to, you know, fabricate evidence to say, okay, this is what we caught. You know, what's your opinion on fabricated evidence?
That it's horrible. I mean, it gives the worst name to the true paranormal investigators. You know, we're out here, you know, we try to help people as much as we can, and, you know, we're trying to understand an area that's not familiar yet, and you know, you get people that are out there that's pretty much, you know, like you said before, you got to have some fun on investigations,
mm-hmm.
but that's taking fun to another level. That's just, you know, that's downgrading everybody that does true paranormal work, because you know how hard it is. We think it's golden when we catch one little EVP out of, you know, 12 hours worth of audio, 20 hours worth of audio.
True.
And in these groups, you know, they'll get, you know, ones that fake evidence, they'll have 30, 40 EVPs, or they'll have weird videos and stuff like that. And I know you know, and I know, and everyone knows that if you're a true paranormal investigator, you know, you'll sit in the house for hours, and you won't get one thing. And I've had it where I've gone back to the same house, and then all of a sudden we catch something. You know, that's why I really enjoy doing this. You know, it's the thrill. You know, is something going to happen, something not going to happen? But if you're faking evidence, you pretty much know something's going to happen because you're going to make it happen.
true. And you know, ghosts aren't. You're not going to be able to snap your fingers and go, voila, there's an apparition. You know, here, ghosts, snap your fingers, there's an apparition on your video. You know, patience is. I think that's number one virtue that a lot of, you know, investigators, ghost hunters, researchers. I think that's one of the main tributes that an investigator needs to have is patience. Because if you don't have patience, you might as well get out of the field, because you know what? It's like going fishing. You're going to get skunked, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And I can bring a good example of it up. And, you know, I like to watch the paranormal TV shows because, you know, I like to see, you know, if there's any new equipment out there. You know, everyone, you know, I'm sure is getting tired of Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. But if you watch, you know, I give kudos to Donna LaCroix because, you know, she got upset with Shannon Sylvia, and I don't know if everyone saw the episode. I don't even know if you saw the episode, and I can't remember. I think they were at one of the castles, you know, and Donna got upset with Shannon because Shannon wanted something to happen like this at the snap of the fingers, and Donna said, no, it's not going to happen that way. You know, and that, you know, ghosts aren't going to happen, you know, at a command. It'll never will happen that way.
Right. It's bad when, you know, people act like that. It's a hard thing to talk about, basically. If you're a true paranormal investigator, I mean, you frown upon it that people, you know, act like that in the field. So.
And then what about you know, this is another hot topic. You know, I guess we're on hot topics right now. These groups that are charging these homeowners, you know, money for an investigation. I absolutely think that's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, that's horrible. That's, you know, if I was a homeowner and, you know, I wasn't in the paranormal and something was happening in my house, and I, you know, I called the team and they're like, okay, we'll come in, but it's going to cost you, you know, let's say $100. You know, the field is new. You know, you can get these little degrees to become a EVP specialist and stuff like that, but you know, you can't really go to school to be a paranormal investigator. You know, for somebody to come in and say, hey, I'm going to charge you $100 to do something, I don't know if, you know, they're really looking for something, if they're faking evidence and stuff like that, you know, just to show that there is something there, and then they'll send in somebody else for an extra fee to clear the house out, basically. That's why we offer everything for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. You know, I've spent in thousands and thousands of dollars in equipment and traveling, but you know, it's a hobby. I enjoy it.
And same here. And I'm in the middle of building my website now, but that's one thing is when I post my website is our philosophy, and that is we will not charge for an investigation. You know, what about donations? Would your group accept donations? But you use the donations though for the upkeep of your equipment, or you know, buying new equipment.
Right. That's the only time that we'd ever, you know, we'd ever accept it. And we sell T-shirts at conferences and stuff like that. But that's that money goes straight back into the group for, you know, our traveling expenses and to get new equipment and for website fees and stuff like that. It's never once ever gone back into my pocket or the CJ's pocket. So,
you know, I'm not out for personal gain. I mean, I think. If you talk to everyone, if you take a poll, everyone, and you're right, there's going to be a lot of people out there that spend thousands and thousands of dollars on equipment, and they're not out there charging a single dime, you know?
Right.
And then these groups out there charging it? Now, I think some of these groups just need to be called out, you know, and say, hey, what's going on here? Why? I mean, I would like to hear their reasoning why. You know, if it's for personal gain, then they need to be called on it. That's just my personal belief.
Right. And I get a lot of compliments. In our mission statement, it states, our mission is to understand the paranormal and why it occurs. And then it says, our group is not out for profit, this knowledge. That right there, that in part, you know, our group's not out for profit, this knowledge, that a lot of homeowners and business owners look at that and they're like, wow, you know, you guys are really, really into this, aren't you? And that little quote, I guess you can say, at the end is, it was a key whenever we thought of us. And, yeah, I would never think about charging people to do an investigation.
Me neither. It just, it floors me because, you know what, we're out there to we're collecting evidence because for to try to prove to people out there that yes, there's actually, you know, spirit activity. There is ghost out there. We're trying to catch it. You know, for such a long time. I mean, I didn't even hear of, you know, a ghost hunter or investigation group until, you know, I started. I would say around 2000. You know, there was a few. You know, here and there you hear about it. You know, and even early 2000s, these groups were like, for real? Are you for real? I mean, it's like,
right.
But you know, as long as we can get, you know, more knowledge out there to help these people understand that yes, there's really something out there, I think the more acceptance we're going to have.
Right, and see, I paid for, you know, I can understand, like, we do investigations at the Lincoln Theater, which is actually the place I'm getting married Friday. We do investigations there, but we're charged for it, but it goes to, the Lincoln's pretty ran down. It's been closed since the 80s, so they're trying to bring it back, and mm-hmm. the money that they raise for that goes straight back into Lincoln, which, you know, I don't frown upon that, because we love going there, because almost every time we've gone, there's been, you know, a couple things that's happened to us, and, you know, we're helping out to restore a theater, so just like with Waverly Hills, too, you know, you got to pay to get in there, and
definitely,
you know, money goes back into fixing it up, so, I mean, that I can understand, but, you know, if you're going to someone's house, you know, that's scared because there's stuff happening, and you're like, hey, $100, I'll come in and take care of it, that's wrong.
And that's where you're running into where a lot of these, you know, these groups come in, they charge. That's you know, from talking to a lot of people, that's where you hear where you're getting a lot of the fabricated evidence because, you know, they get the, oh, I feel bad, you know, I need to do this. You're also running into it where these groups are charging, but then they run off with the client's money and they don't even do anything for the client, and then you have these respectable groups that have to go in and clean up after them.
Right, and let's say that if you go into a home and you tell the homeowners that, you know, $100, I'll do the house, and come to find out it's, you know, it's nothing really paranormal. You know, you got just some doors opening because, you know, it's not level, or they smell some weird stuff, but, you know, there's flowers on the outside that's blowing in. So, you know, if you're a true investigator and you look at these things, you tell a homeowner, hey, this is what we come up with, and, you know, try this out and see what happens, and then nothing happens, and their paranormal fears are kind of over with. But if you're charging, you know, that's, It's completely messed up. I mean, it's just wrong.
I'm
thinking about it. It upsets us. You know, it's true investigators. It puts a bad name out for us.
And I agree with you. Now, I have a few more questions for you, and these are just if you got to go anywhere on the entire Earth, where would you like to go investigate?
We want to go down to Waverly Hills. It's a goal for us, basically. I've always wanted to check it out. CJ's always wanted to check it out. Same with my fiance and the two other members. I mean, it's a beautiful place, even though it's run down. It's a beautiful place, especially for paranormal work. That would be the top of the list. And then actually, next year, in June, around this time, me and my fiance are actually going to take our actual honeymoon, but we're going to Ireland.
Oh, that's gotta be
yeah,
awesome.
There's a list of stuff over there that we want to check out. So
sweet. I mean, Ireland. It seems like, and you mentioned Ireland, and that's just like a mecca. You know, I saw the few episodes on Taps, but talking to people from Ireland, because there's Leinster Paranormal here, and the Pig guys, paranormal investigating guys. If you ever get a chat with them, they can tell you stories about other stuff there that happens, and it's totally awesome from what they say. I mean, it's different, and they have a different style over there. The European investigators have a different style than American investigators.
Right.
I would love to go to Ireland. I mean, just the beauty of Ireland. It's just.
Yeah, that's the other reason why we want to go over. We both enjoy, you know, seeing the scenery over there, and it's, it's a beautiful place, and it's extremely old. So.
Oh yeah, I mean the history over there is great. And one last question, and we've gone almost a whole hour, and it hasn't been asked. 224 straight shows. We need to get Adam's opinion on orbs.
Hate them. I frown upon them. I get the question asked every time we go to a home. You know, they pull up the orb photos, and you know, and right away we say, you know, we don't want to upset you, but you know, an orb can be, you know, 200,000 things. You know, can it be paranormal? Maybe. Can it be dust? More than likely. Can it be a bug? Yeah, more than likely.
True.
You know, it's we can't put paranormal on it because there's so many things that it can be besides paranormal. I just, no one in the group likes orbs. I mean, that's one reason why we're not too big when we do photos, because almost every time you're going to catch something on there that's, oh, look, we got another orb. So I don't like them at all.
Well, especially in the house, because, you know, even my house, I could tell, you know, after cleaning, you know, even just walking around, you're going to stir up dust. And with the air conditioning, like in the summertime with the air conditioning going, and in the wintertime the heater going, I mean, you have your filters in the furnace, but that's not going to catch everything. I mean,
right.
I could probably snap 10 photos right now, and 8 of 10 will have dust orbs in it.
Yep.
Well, our hour has pretty much gone here. There is so much we could talk more. Adam, if you'd like, I'd like to have you back on sometime in the future. If that'd be great.
No, that'd be great. I've had a good time with you.
It's been awesome. And if I can have you stay on the line, I would like to thank you personally. I'll be right back with you. But I do have to make my big announcement now. And actually, you get to hear, Adam gets to hear it first before it streams over the radio. So here we go with the big announcements. The big announcements. After 224 straight shows of asking the orb questions, I am officially retiring the question. I will no longer be asking the question after 224 straight shows. I am saddened, but you know what? This day had to come. So there it is, the big announcement. Alrighty, folks, we do have Ghost Quest coming up here in about 2 minutes. Adam, if you can hang tight, I will be right with you to thank you personally.
Okay.
So, everyone, we'll see you next week. Next week, we do have High Paranormal Patrick with us next week. So, everyone, take care. Good night. And I will see you in the chat room in a little bit.
This has been a production of the Para-X Radio Network.
You've been listening to The Paranormal Divide with Kurt Smith. Brought to you by the Peach State Paranormal Society. Be sure to join us next time as we cross into the paranormal divide on your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. Any use or rebroadcast of this show without written permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2008.